Well, amen. Good to see you all tonight. I hope that you've had a good week in the Lord. Good to see the kids here. It's good to see the teenagers over decorating the fellowship hall for this Sunday, the international banquet. And remember, banana pudding is international. That's right. The bananas come from overseas, most of them anyway, so make some banana pudding.
And the vanilla flavor.
Good to see you folks tonight. Certainly be in prayer for those that are sick and can't be here. Ask the Lord to bless their bodies, their minds, their hearts. That's a few good crowd here on a Wednesday night. This day, 18 years ago, some 12 hours before this time, terrorists, Muslims hijacked planes and ran them into buildings, into the Pentagon, tried to get to the White House, and changed our world forevermore as we know it here in America. As far as that goes, as far as the world. Now we have countless of first responders that are dying from the health problems from that area. And it seems as though if we're not careful, we will not keep in mind those things and those tragedies that happen. Pearl Harbor is real.
Yeah.
It is real. Ugly. Death is ugly. Terror is ugly. But we should never forget. Never. Kids, I know you, some of you weren't even born then. So, parents, just like that, Brother Chase and I took those boards back there and put them back as a landmark. So when people see those boards, they know they're from the first church over there, or they say, well, who put these old dirty boards up here? And the young say, you know the Joneses sitting out front? They got saved over there in that church and those and walked the aisles and got married on those boards. Amen. See, it's not always the one that actually does the actual work. It's the memorial, the memory. Don't forget, this day, terrorist Muslims overcame, took and destroyed, and killed, and took lives. And pray for those first responders that are still suffering through the emotions of that and the physical aspect of it as well. Well, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're still talking about missions. Boy, we had some good missionaries. Brother Ray said, Pastor, I've been around missionaries in the past, and I tell you, they have been dry. He said, but I have really enjoyed these last two that we've had. And when I told some of my preacher friends, I said, I've asked all but for one Sunday, I've asked missionaries to be in every Sunday of the month of September, except one. And they asked me, was I trying to get fired? No, if you fire me because we're working on missions, you got bigger problems than that. But it's kind of unusual to have them in ever that long, but unless you see it, sometimes you're not affected by them. If you have them once, twice a year, it just kind of comes and goes, and you know, and we put prayer letters there, and we read them every now and then, but mission work is a real thing. It is a real thing. Right outside those doors, if you can go out those doors and keep heading south until you came back in these doors from your southern trip all the way around the globe and got back in there, you'd never do enough for the gospel. God gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, to have everlasting life. And so missions is very important. So that's why on these Wednesday nights we'll be looking at this. Last week we looked at the purpose of missions. The purpose, according to Scripture, is that the accomplishment of God's creation might go forth. He said the grace of God has appeared to all men. The only way that happens is that we go forth with the gospel. He said he's not willing that any should repent, should perish, but all should come to repentance. So what's the purpose of mission work? Is that we, God's people, can be involved and be obedient to Scripture. Acts 1:8, after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you shall receive power. You shall be a witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what the Bible teaches. And so the purpose of missions is that we might be obedient to God's will for our life. And this is part of God's will for our life. But we should meditate, study upon the Word of God, hide in our hearts, we're not seeing. Remembering that we are sometimes an epistle open and read among men. Lost folks around you, family around you, they see a difference. They see how you act. They see the love that you show and care for the things of God. And the purpose of missions goes forward. You remember the word I told you I used years ago. I just sit and pondered on it. Missions, my indebted service, seeking isolated ones, needing salvation. People need the Lord today. So the purpose for missions is that we might be part of God's plan for the gospel. I don't know about you, dear friend, but I've been invited to take part in some unique things in my life, you know, that I thought was pretty exciting. And, you know, and like when the birth of our grandchildren was taking place, we were invited to come and to be a part of that operational thing that takes place there. Of course, I just sit out in the hallway in a chair. I didn't go in there and look, but that was an exciting time to see birth that come out of our loins. You know, and we were invited to be a part of that. Well, I'll tell you that as great as my grandchildren are, and I'll tell you, if I knew how good that being grandfather would, we'd have bypassed all this raising children thing and just had us a bunch of grandchildren. But don't work that away. That's exciting. But more than that, more thing than, there's nothing I can think of that's for God to say, Lane, I want you to be a part of my work. That's exciting, friend. Do you realize we live in a world of over 7 billion people? And because we're saved, because we trusted Christ, our first Lord and Savior, God says, I want you to be an ambassador for me. That is exciting stuff, dear friend. It really is. And so there's a purpose for missions. Now, here's the plan. So you got a purpose. Is that to be involved in God's will for the universe? I'm not willing that any should perish. So let's read our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready at your hand, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So we got the purpose. We looked at the purpose last week, and this is the plan. Our Father, our God in heaven, is a God of order. It's an absolute fact, biblical fact, that God is a God of order. He showed us time and time again throughout Scripture how he's a God of order. And the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. All through creation, he set the order. And he set orders all through there. For caring for the ark of God, he set an order. And when people got out of order, Uzzah died because he got out of order. The whole shame about that business was Uzzah was trying to do right. You had priests around there. You had a king that should have had a copy of his own law and didn't care for the ark of God like it was supposed to. It was supposed to be carried on staves by the Levites, not upon new carts and horses and donkeys and mules. But God had an order. When you get out of order, things get bad. Now here's the thing about God's order. There's a great necessity for obedience if you're wanting to fulfill the will of God for your life. It's required, it is a requirement in us that we be obedient to God's word. Not half-stepping, not doing parts and not the other. It is a necessity, dear friend, for each and every one of us. If we want to fulfill the purpose of our life, which God has laid out before us, it requires obedience. And obedience needs to be primary in our life, not secondary. It needs to be primary. Like when Noah built the ark, and God put this testimony for Noah, and he did all that I commanded him. That means he was obedient. So the plan for God is that we be obedient, and his purpose, dear friend, is readily fulfilled because greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Amen. So it's not that we can't fulfill the Great Commission. It's that we won't fulfill the Great Commission. It requires obedience. It requires that we get involved in those things. God said in Acts 1:8, I will give you power. What did Jesus say? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So now we have the power to fulfill those things. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Go with me to the book of Acts. Now, this is the plan of God for local New Testament churches. In Acts chapter number 11. It's God's plan that all will be a witness, according to Acts chapter 1:8. All will be a witness. So we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Okay? So the gospel is being brought forth, it's being preached, people are getting saved, and people are being baptized, and Acts chapter 2, verse 47, they were added to the church. And so the will of God, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, the will of God is that out of local New Testament churches, other churches are birthed. And sometimes that's through our missionaries. When we take and support a missionary that's going on the foreign field, that's why we have to make sure that church planting, gospel preaching, evangelization is the primary focus of their ministries. Okay, sometimes you can use tools, schools, languages, orphanage, and things of that nature, but the whole purpose must come to an end that a church, a local body of believers can assemble to fulfill the Great Commission. Because once they assemble and become a church of their own, then it's their responsibility to begot other churches. And so sometimes it works through our missionaries. As we support, pray, and help them, they go and they plant a church there. Sometimes it happens in ways within us. God moves and God puts on the heart of one of our young men that he wants to surrender his life to be in the gospel work. And he begins to train and begin to work and labor around the things of God that he's learning. And then all of a sudden the Lord lays on his heart and says, you know, way out there on the other side of Holy Paul, down on 60, there's a little bitty community of about 3,000 people, and there's no church. They got to drive, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles to get to a church and says, Pastor, I believe that we can plant a church there. And he goes and he labors out of our body, one of our people, and we get behind him and we support him. And he goes there and labors and labors and labors with him and his family. And we go down and help and we pass out tracts and we support that. And then all of a sudden, folks are getting saved and somebody gets baptized. And then you have 12 meeting at a college prayer meeting. And before you know it, it turns into a local New Testament church. There's many ways to happen, but it's God's will, dear friend, that churches begot churches. So that is part of the plan of missions. Look at verse number 26 there in that chapter. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Talk about Barnabas and Saul here. He brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year of assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So each member needs to be involved with evangelization, gospel missions, reaching out, sharing Christ with others as we go and we're found faithful. Look with me in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 2. Sometimes your schedule don't allow you to go with the organized way of things, but it doesn't stop you on a day-to-day basis to be a faithful witness for Christ. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, listen to what it says about that church that's mentioned there. There's 120 members mentioned in Acts chapter 1. It says, and they were all with one accord and one place. God wants you to be involved. Listen, when you get saved, you get baptized, you assemble yourself together, and you commit yourself to a local body of churches, to be a member, dear friend, is not the same as your Planet Fitness membership. That's earthly. You know, every year people spend millions of dollars on these here memberships at these health clubs, that they go and take guests and take visitors. They get on passion, get a passion for it. Then all of a sudden something happens. They get sick because they have to work. And before you know it, when they were going twice a week, it's down to once a week. And then it's no time a week. And you keep having to pay monthly. And guess what? The CEO of Planet Fitness or Crunches or Universal never calls you and says, what's going on, dude? You paid for your membership. Why are you not over here working out? Why are you not in the sauna? They don't care. But for a child of God, when you've assembled yourself to a local body of believers and you're a member, you say, I want to be a part. You're fitly framed by God Himself, and you've been put together. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you, and He's our guide, our teacher, our director. He shows you, He begins to prompt you, hey, why are you not coming faithful to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why are you not coming being faithful to Sunday school? And why are you not, you know, you see, I've put some tracts on the boards and here and there. Why are you not? And the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you. Brother Ray said they had 14 a Tuesday morning Bible study with Brother Ray yesterday. 14 came out yesterday. Praise God for that. You got to get involved with stuff, dear friend. You got to be a part of it. You're fitly framed. That's how the Scriptures put it over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Fit, I mean, you're perfectly fit. And never none of us here have any perfect bodies. I mean, we wish we did. We hope we did. But, you know, to be honest with you, every one of us got flaws. I mean, you're created out of dirt and dust. How could you not have some flaws? But God knows who you are. He knows your frame. And He wants to help you. And the plan of the missions is that everybody gets involved. Look over in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Look at verse number 1. Now there were in the church, so it's a church, and this church is at a particular place that was at Antioch. So you have a local body of believers. They're together. They're meeting. They're having services at Antioch. certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, Manenian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, listen, this is the church, the local body. When the church had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. God expects local churches to be involved in missions. It's His plan. They pray, they fast, like the example I gave about down there south. I don't know what's down south of Holy Fall. I looked up the other day, the 10 poorest places in Florida. Whew. There's some poor places around here, dear friend. Really are. We don't have to go far to find some poverty. There's some people that need the Lord right here in Florida. Amen. That doesn't have necessarily the means to fulfill the work of the Lord there without help, outside help. That's why we're got involved with helping Brother Bedell down there. He's laboring and working, him and his wife, and they're trying to do the right thing by God. But dear friend, I tell you, it gets tight whenever you got folks that just are not working and not able to give like they're supposed to. So we don't want another church to close up. So we said, Lord, can we help? And the Lord moved upon our body to help them monthly. This is how missions work, and we have to be involved. And so it does take us surrendering ourselves to send missionaries under church authority that they might go out and plant, preach the gospel and plant churches and raise up a New Testament local church that will help a community and allow people to get saved and get trained and baptized and propagate again down the road another work. It's been done right out of here. Evergreen was started right out of Lock Haven years ago. So it's a biblical plan. God's plan hadn't changed for missions, and so we have to realize the purpose. The purpose is to be involved in God's work for the universe, and God's work for the universe is that none should perish. So we get involved through missions in many different aspects and many different ways. Through prayer, missionaries need prayer. Would to God I could wake up in the morning and just, pour me out a box of prayer and fill my kids up. Doesn't work that way. Take sacrifice on somebody's part. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So, well, they shouldn't have went. They're being obedient to God's plan. This is God's way. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, it said there, you'd not boast upon another man's labors. You're seeking in regions where there is no one. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Listen to what it says. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is that with one that watches over the property of somebody else. Everything we have does not belong to us. You say, Pastor, I got the deed to it. I've labored for it. That's my bank account, my name on it. Dear friend, God could call you home today and your children would have it tomorrow. You have what you have because by the grace of God, He's blessed you enough to be able to work and labor and to prosper a little bit and put aside. But you got to be a good steward of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Church of Corinth realized that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. Oh, I love the grace of God. Amen. Bestowed upon who? The churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, listen to what it says, I bear record, and yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. It's talking about the churches of Macedonia. Church of Corinth is way down in the southern part of Greece. Church of Macedonia is way up there in the north, up there around Philippi and all that area. North Thessalonica. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, an honorarium, an offering, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. It takes obedience. You've got to give some, Lord, here am I. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You lay down yourself on God's altar and say, Lord, here am I. I see the need. I see the scriptures. I see the verses in the Bible. It says that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel, that I should be a witness from Jerusalem all the way to the uttermost parts of the world. God, I want to do that, but my job is here, and my life is here, and I'm involved in my local church here, but you've given me a responsibility to the uttermost parts of the world. What am I going to do? And with a willing heart of sacrifice, you say, Lord, here am I, and what I have, I give unto thee as a gift, an offering. Lord, use it for the furtherance of the gospel. That's beyond the tenth that is required. Said, Malachi, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. So there's a requirement. And then there's offerings that you have to pray about, seek God's face and say, Lord, here am I. What can I do as an individual? You give those offerings and God takes them and He stretches them. And with a consistent giving and sacrificial giving as we give of ourselves and through the mission program, there's a fruit that is laid up for our account. And abounds to our account. Because we were willing to go beyond the requirement of what God says. And He said, the tenth is mine, saith the Lord. So there's a starting point, and there's a requirement. Preacher, ain't no way that we can do all that. Well, you've got to be obedient of the tenth before you can get to the sacrificial giving. Amen. That's how God works. Pastor, I'm struggling to the very end. I said, 100% of everything I own belongs to God. I have found in my own life that whatever I do, I can live far greater on the 90% left over than I could ever live on that 100% that I keep back from God. Amen. And so I give it to the Lord, it's yours. I'm your child. You said not for me to worry about clothing, food, shelter. Lord, I'm being obedient, so Lord, help me. And by being obedient, God does help and brings about blessings galore that you could never, ever imagine that you would ever have because of being found faithful. So God's purpose for missions is that we might be involved in His universal will for the entire world that none should perish. That's His will. We don't have a God that says, oh, you old guys over here, y'all going to hell, you going to hell, you back there, you going to hell, all of us right around in this little shape here is going to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish. Amen. So we get involved so that there will be opportunity for some to hear about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the purpose and then the plan is through the authority of a local New Testament church so there can be some accountability of what's going on. Don't get a prayer letter or get a phone. Hey, what's going on, guys? Y'all still available? Y'all still alive? You're dead? What's going on? I don't know. Let me check here. Oh, Pastor, for some reason, we got 14321 on here, not 14246. And they corrected, and they let us start coming. And we have some updates on what's going on. It's all in God's plan. So next week, we're going to look at the power of mission. The power of missions. So the purpose of missions, the plan of missions, and the power of missions.